Hello and welcome to Close Up Fort Mill TK. I'm Patty Mercer, broadcasting live today on South Carolina's radio station of the year. And Matt, back at the broadcast house, I am hearing my... Oh, thank you so much. Totally fixed it. I was hearing voices in my head, and it was my own voice. And it really was there. But thank goodness that was just a little technical adjustment, and we're back on the path, and I can focus. Of course, Close Up, we're at our new time. Hopefully you're listening. You know about it every Tuesday and Thursday. We're coming at you live from 12 to 12:30, just before Straight Talk with Manning Kimmel. And today, Stephen Stone is in there at the wheel driving the ship. Today's topic on Close Up is something that I hope everybody will lean in a little closer and pay attention to. We're talking about an epidemic, opioid addiction, overuse, and not only do we have Janet Martini from Keystone here today, but we have Terry and Jeff Benson, parents who lost their daughter to this epidemic, this horrible thing, February of 2016. And thank you so much, both of you, for being here today to share your story in hopes that it will make a difference in the lives of not just one, but many. Before we get started, I want to say thanks to our presenting sponsors, Piedmont Medical Center, you won't believe what's in your own backyard, and Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Thanks to Kuster Commercial for all that they do, commercial real estate for the Carolinas. And, of course, our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative, providing safe, reliable, affordable, and environmentally responsible electrical power. And, of course, Famous Toastery, where we're coming at you live today. Every server is a Your Server. Welcome to Close Up. Janet Martini, let's begin with you. This is truly an epidemic, and it is growing. Unfortunately, it is not. There doesn't seem to be a break or a bright spot at this end of the tunnel. Tell me how it's impacting York County.
Well, the things that we have seen just in the last couple of years, we kicked off an initiative last summer called YC Hope, which stands for York County Heroin and Opioid Prevention and Education, which actually the Bensons named for us. We kicked off that with a press conference because what we were seeing just in our numbers at Keystone is we had the third highest rate of patients in our services that had opioid use disorder in the whole, comparing to the whole state of South Carolina. So,
why?
Well, it's I think it's proximity to I-77 and 85 and all those types of things, and it's just our numbers of folks that we've been seeing are really in the young adult area. Especially with our demographics. So we know that our young adults age 18 to 25 have almost double the rate of substance use disorders than in any other age bracket in our community.
And it seems so counterintuitive to me because this is the age that is reality TV. This is Dr. Phil. This is information 24/7. If any generation has had an opportunity to know and make an informed decision about using drugs, it's these guys.
Well, it's a lot of folks are just unsuspecting. It can be a young person, a young adult that's had their wisdom teeth removed. Just an innocent pain medication prescription. Just that. It could be childbirth. Could be any type of sports injury.
So an opiate or an opioid, tell me some of the street names that we might recognize in terms of pain medication.
Sure. Well, the pain medications, the prescription type medications, it may be your morphine, your codeine, your hydrocodone.
Get those from the dentist.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me that from the dentist, let's just say you get your wisdom teeth taken out, which is pretty standard for most kids, they give you pain medication that can set you up to an addiction on heroin?
It sure could.
And we think about heroin as the 70s and dirty needles, and then HIV came along and people seemed to not want to do a drug like that because there were so many other health benefit or risk involved. it's making a resurgence.
It sure is. And it is, it's not the folks that we think of in the 70s. These are our children, our neighbors, our grandchildren. They are they're there. And a lot
and they
of times,
didn't choose this.
That's exactly right.
Wow. Wow. And speaking of a family that has been hit very hard, Terry and Jeff Benson, who would like to go first? First of all, you two are first-timers on Close Up, so I'd like to begin with just sharing a little bit about you. Where you live? What do you do?
I live in Teague, South Carolina. I work for an environmental engineering company in Charlotte. We've been married 30 years and have a beautiful grandchild that we raised, who was my daughter. She's 7 years old.
Now, your daughter, what's her name?
My daughter, Jessica.
Jessica.
She passed away in February of last year, the age of 22. To your point, she about having knowledge and information, nobody sets out to become an addict. Nobody. And it's a very unsuspecting trap. I mean, Jessica was a junior scholar, a piano player, a beautiful girl, a cheerleader. And then when she got to high school, she started having some risky behavior. She became pregnant at the age of 15. And when she gave birth to my grandson, she had severe postpartum depression and was prescribed benzos, Xanax. And that was the beginning of her addiction to pills, which led to her addiction to heroin.
It's a slippery slope.
Very, very slippery.
And, you know, the age of your daughter seems to coincide at a time, too, where even doctors weren't aware of how addictive certain medications could and can be, because their information was coming from the pharmaceutical companies saying it's not addictive.
I had told our dentist that my daughter had just come out of rehab for heroin overdose, and she had dental work, and he prescribed her opiates.
So what is
immediately
that?
After I told my dentist that she had just come out of rehab. So there's a lot of work to do on educating the prescriber front. Yes.
Yes. And so when you see that from someone that should know better, what does it do in terms of inspiring you to continue to share information, not only from your personal perspective, but from a measurable, you should know better? Where does it begin?
I don't think it ever ends. I think we're on a day-to-day basis faced with the opportunities to educate people in our community. We're well indebted to organizations like Keystone for trying to help and offering us the opportunity to continue to be heard. We'll never stop telling our story, and it's very important to question everything from a parenting perspective to take into account where your children are going, knowing the parents. This is Parents 101. But a lot of us let that slide because it's opportunity for us to have some time to ourselves, for them to have time with their friends, quote unquote. But in given walks throughout our community, and we're, you know, from the high to the low, we have a very diverse community here between TGK, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Gaston County. I mean, all these people are from different walks, and you never know what your kid is really walking into unless you do the research. So I think that's a big responsible step that parents can take to educate themselves and understand what their children are really doing. That gives it better feedback.
I think that you say you share so much because at the time when they are the most vulnerable, because they are stepping into different situations, they are exercising their independence, and like you said, it's a rite of passage. You know, your kids get to a certain age, you should be able to enjoy some adult time. And yet nowadays, it seems to be that you never know what influences your child might also be exposed to. Were there, in hindsight, was there behavior? Was there something that now you can say was your intuition screaming at you, but at the time you just thought, you know, this is just teenage behavior. We encourage independence. Looking back, what did you see that wasn't part of that normal teenage energy.
Yes, my husband and I spent a few years early on in my daughter's crisis debating this very issue as to whether or not there was a real problem or this is all just what kids are like or, you know,
what's really your only daughter?
No, we have another daughter who's 3 years older. She's now 26, who is nothing like her.
They never are. You get two of the same
completely
sex and they're polar opposite.
Yes. And my daughter also had a bipolar disorder, Jessica, and so there was a lot of confusion between the behaviors of an adolescent teen, a bipolar disorder, which we were unfamiliar with what was really going on, and addiction. And after many years of debate, we came to the realization that you can't unpack these things from each other and that they are all indeed commingling illnesses that have to be addressed very comprehensively. And
well,
so,
said.
Yeah, the symptoms like that we first saw were excessive sleeping till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, couldn't go to school, always had a headache or a migraine and was sleeping until late into the day. Money going missing, change in appearance and attitude, different friends, the great friends of the cheerleading and the piano playing days started to fade and new people would come into the home and all of a sudden there were different friends and they were sleeping all day and there was a lot of going missing time and things of that sort that, you know, we struggled to understand what is going on and to have this blazing hope that there wasn't a drug problem. But then, you know, we would check the text messages and the Facebook and start snooping around a little bit and every stone we unturned led us down a path where our denial was hard to maintain for much longer. But
right, you.
By the time we snapped out of that denial, my daughter already had a steady stream of people in her life that were supplying her with pills and alcohol and eventually with heroin. That it was already beyond the point where we could use any form of discipline to address it. She was sick.
Right, right. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a mid-program break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about how, as parents, there's your child and there's the addiction and how you manage to compartmentalize. Woo! Tough subject today. Want to thank our presenting sponsors, Piedmont Medical Center. If you haven't been to Piedmont Medical Center lately, then you haven't been to Piedmont. Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Houston Commercial Real Estate for the Carolinas. And thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative and Famous Toastery. We'll be back with more Close Up in just a few.
Located in Fort Mill, the Custer Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidiscipline team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Custer Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
The Anne Springs Close Greenway in Fort Mill is the perfect getaway from everyday stress. Whether it's a hike through the woods, an exhilarating mountain bike ride, kayaking on a quiet pond, or a simple picnic, the Anne Springs Close Greenway has something for you. Visit ascgreenway.org and get close to nature.
How old is your heart? New screening technologies allow Piedmont Medical Center to assess your risk for heart disease by determining your cardiac age, a number which may be years away from your chronological age. Our screenings at Piedmont include a check of blood pressure, BMI, blood sugar, and a full lipid profile. See how your cardiac age measures up. Register for a free heart health assessment. Go online to mypmc.com/screenings. Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard.
Yes, you can save up to $40 on your electric bill. This is Mark Howie with York Electric Cooperative. Call us today about our Power Saver Rewards program or visit us online at yorkelectric.net. Save money, do something good for the environment, join the Power Saver Rewards program today, yorkelectric.net.
Located in Fort Mill, the Kuester Companies continue to create value throughout the Carolinas. Our multidisciplined team with extensive project experience provide expert advice, giving our clients the edge to excel. Kuester Commercial, customized solutions for every stage of the commercial real estate process.
It's one thing to be aware of breast cancer. It's another to do something about it. Here's to the heroes who make pink so much more than a color. Act, donate, get involved at Komen.org/morethanpink.
We now return to Close Up Fort Mill Tinga K. Once again, here's Patty Mercer.
We're back and you're listening to Close Up Fort Mill Tinga K. My guest today, Janet Martini from Keystone Substance Abuse, and Terry and Jeff Benson. We're talking about the awful addiction and overdose epidemic that's happening in all 50 states. And Janet is here just to share a perspective of what opioid addiction looks like here in York County. And you had mentioned that how many people die every day from this?
And this is a 2015 number, so we know that when we see the numbers coming out for 2016, those will most likely increase. 144 people died in the United States every single day in 2015 from an opioid overdose, an opioid use disorder. That is equivalent to, if you just want to liken it to a commuter plane going down every single day and every single person dying.
Now imagine.
Yes.
If we saw that on the evening news.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
The attention that it would get.
Yes.
Or I also heard something about more people have died than, you know, died in the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And we think about the way they show the names of those that, you know, died and how riveting it was to see the loss of life measured by reading a name. And this is happening. And it's not just happening in Utah. It's not just happening in rural areas of the United States. It's happening right here in Tinga K, Fort Mill, both the safest cities, you know,
yes,
in South Carolina, number
yes,
one, number two, and to junior scholars and to families that have all the means to set up their child for success in this world. It lets us know that there's more to look at. Because it's not a decision. It's not a choice that is made. Nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to be a drug addict. They see the pictures. They know what it looks like. It's a downward spiral. As it relates to opioid addiction, we're hearing so much. I mean, those numbers are staggering. Tell me about recovery. Is
yeah,
that even possible?
Oh, it is. It is. When we kicked off the YC Hope Initiative through York County All On Board Coalition last year, we realized that it's going to take and continue to take a multi-pronged approach. And so we have law enforcement officers who many times are the first folks on site in some type of emergency situation. We have over 150 law enforcement officers in York County that have now been trained to administer Narcan, a nasal spray that they use that will save someone's life and bring them back. It takes educating the community. The Bensons are such a wonderful inspiration in telling their story to try to help other parents from seeing those same things happen to their children. At Keystone, we have been working to change our philosophy of treatment. It's not an abstinence-based model that works for everyone all the time anymore. So that's one of the reasons why we have now incorporated medication-assisted treatment into our programs. We started a young adult program called Journey, and that is really trying to spotlight young people ages 18 to 28 that have an opioid use disorder. And so this is the very reason why Jessica is a prime example, as the reason why we have Jessica's library now. You need to come by and see it. And so there is hope. And there is recovery.
That's wonderful. Now, Terry, you had mentioned that this type of recovery and treatment was not available to Jessica. I mean, a lot of people, they don't have a lot of sympathy. They blame the addict. There's a negative stigma with any kind of drug addiction overdose. And I know even talking to Melissa Davis Boyd and over you know, about how it was hard for her family to admit that her brother died from an accidental overdose. We say accidental overdose. How does opioid, how does the drug, how does it affect the brain? Why do you die from this medication?
Well, yeah, essentially it is a result of respiratory failure. The body just stops breathing.
So your brain kind of just goes
shuts
to sleep.
Down.
Okay, so it's so chill it just goes.
I don't have to breathe anymore.
Yeah, and you're gone.
Yes.
Just like that.
And so that's why it's so important that we have access to Narcan. Some folks call it naloxone as well, because one of the things that did happen. It's a change. Any person can go into any pharmacy in the state of South Carolina. We're trying to educate pharmacies as well. You can go into a pharmacy now and say, my child, I am, someone in my family close to me has an opioid issue, a heroin issue, whatever. And the pharmacist is supposed to be able to provide education and provide a method that you can access that Narcan, because it may be that you need to have that on your person or with you in your home. Because you can save a life. Anyone, it can be a child in the family,
right,
can save a life.
Now, how did you two, Jeff or Terry, how did you manage when you finally had no other choice but to face the fact that your daughter had an addiction? How were you able, tell me about the journey of just getting to that place of realizing that this was no longer your daughter. This was, I mean, it's your daughter, but this was a grip that the addiction had on your daughter, really causing her to make the choices that she was making for her life.
Well, once we were through the system with several professional recommendations through varying psychiatric doctors in counseling and trying to treat bipolar, personality disorders, postpartum depression, when all these things came to fruition and we realized, you know, pleading with doctor to doctor to doctor to look at the baseline, look at what she may be self-medicating with to try to understand, is what you're giving her curing her? Do you have any idea what she's on as a baseline to be able to, you know, work this titration one against the other? And there was never any attempt for them to establish that. So
how
it was frustrating
as a parent when you know the answer is there, but you're not getting it.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, after my daughter turned 18 and we had just kind of realized what was really happening, we were told by the medical professionals that they would not relinquish that information to us as to what she was testing positive for, because she was an adult. So we were stuck trying to find treatment without having the ability, unless she would sign the HIPAA forms as to what actually was going on. So
Again,
it really took for her to have her own implosion of her life and to really come to grips with telling us.
Right.
She confessed to us.
Yes.
I'm a heroin addict.
Wow.
Help me.
What was that moment like?
Oh, my goodness gracious. It was pretty horrifying. Yeah.
Did you have any idea that it had gone that far? What did you see around your house? I mean, were there any telltale signs?
In hindsight, of course, is 2020. The biggest thing when we met with Keystone first, shortly after her death, about getting involved with their program, and YC Hope was one of the slingers that we had. The first one we received is, where are the spoons?
Why? Why spoons?
Well, spoons are used to heat the heroin to prepare it for intravenous introduction. So
okay.
That was a big thing. It was like, oh my God, you know, we've got 12 tablespoons and 3 teaspoons. What's up with that? So, I mean, this is like, hello, you gotta think about this.
Right.
But I think the, you know, the bigger things as far as her addiction and presentation stuff, the friends that she was with, the availability, when she was mingling with them, when they were in the house, then obvious things that were going on, you know, there were needles, you know, being found. I'm type 2 diabetes and I take an injection every day. And some of my needles were missing, and they're not the kind of needles that you could use without the delivery system that I use for my insulin. But you know why? I don't even know where they went. I don't even know if they were used.
You just knew they were gone.
But they're gone.
And
so,
it sort of raised a yellow flag. So, oh my goodness, we're out of time. Goes fast, doesn't it? Jeff and Terry, thank you so much. Janet, tell us about Cool Fest happening on Saturday, real quick.
Oh, thank you very much. Cool Fest is a celebration of our lives, and it is this Saturday from 11 to 2 at the BMX Supercross Field in Riverwalk. And it's a time where we bring the community and families to come and just have an old-fashioned field day. And it's a lot of fun. It's free. So please come out and join us.
Thank you so much, Janet Martini, Terry, and Jeff Benson. Thank you for tuning into this edition of Close Up Fort Mill TKK presented by Piedmont Medical Center. You won't believe what's in your own backyard. Family Trust Federal Credit Union, a relationship you can trust. Kuster Commercial, commercial real estate for the Carolinas. Thanks to our co-sponsors, York Electric Cooperative and Famous Toastery. Until next time, stay close. This is Patty Mercer. Bye-bye.